America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
As Greg Cosell joins us on the River Islands guest line, we've told him this, that we sort of like, the conversation with him is how we officially shake free of whatever happened last week.
Yep.
And then get ready for next week. Problem is next week's 24 hours away.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
You're right.
Football wise.
Yeah, you're right.
Got a game, and I shouldn't have said 24. 26 hours. Got a football game.
I'm not ready. I still have questions about what happened last Sunday.
Well, then let's do it with our guy, senior executive producer, NFL Films. He's the best. He's Greg Cosell. Hi, Greg. How you doing?
Guys, how are you?
We are great, except for obviously the football team we cover is, not in the best spot right now after 5 weeks. Wanted to start out by asking you about Brock Purdy. Big topic of discussion here this week is how much he's scrambling. And clearly holding onto the ball longer than he has in the past. When you look at the tape, is there an obvious reason for that?
Well, it's funny you say that because that was my final note. I take really detailed notes when I watch these games on tape. So I made the point that the 49ers pass game overall did not have its normal rhythm and timing. Too many plays in which Purdy left the pocket and made the play improvisational and random. I can't tell you what's in his head, but even though he does move well, that's not really the 49ers offense. It's not built, let's say, like the Chiefs offense, where you almost expect Mahomes to leave the pocket and make plays. That's not the 49ers offense. Purdy can do it, obviously. He's done it, but that's not their game. That's not what the way they in which they want to play. So, yeah, this game, he moved too much. I can't tell you why, because I don't know what's in his head, but that can't be the case.
By play design, are you seeing more offensive passing plays that are slower developing, deeper, longer routes than what the 49ers would normally do with more quick screens and quick throws in the past?
Not necessarily. I mean, I thought they started the game out well because they went against tendency earlier in the game and they worked outside the numbers, and Purdy made some big-time throws outside the numbers. I thought that was, really impressive. Normally, we think of them as throwing the ball inside. That's really the foundation of what they do. But I would say what stood out through the first couple of possessions was Purdy throwing outside the numbers from the far hash. I mean, Ayuk's 53-yarder to start the second possession came on a far hash deep side sideline throw. That was phenomenal by Purdy. If you were sitting here watching the coaching tape with me and I froze it just as Purdy started to separate his hands, you'd be amazed at where Ayuk was. He wasn't even close to coming out of his break. He wasn't even close to getting into his break, much less coming out of it. So they did that a couple of times on the first couple of possessions. It worked really effectively. But as the game progressed, for whatever reason, he did not feel like he had throws to make. Sometimes quarterbacks have games. Don't forget, there's 17 of them. Nobody's great every week. Like I said, I don't know what's in his head, but sometimes quarterbacks have games where they just don't see it as clearly as they normally do, and maybe that was the case this week.
Greg, did I just hear you invite us over to watch film with you?
I was using that as an example, you know?
Oh, darn. Okay. All right, because I was like, I'll make some time for that.
I was Googling the flight plans. Yeah. I was going to show up.
Hey, what about this? Brian Baldinger was on our station yesterday and was asked what the identity of the team is based on what he sees on film. And he said what I thought was probably a cuss word to the Niners. He said, slow. They look slow. Does that jive with what you're seeing?
Was he speaking about the team as a whole or one particular side of the ball?
No, pretty much the team as a whole.
I mean, I don't think. Well, let's put it this way. I don't know if they were ever built on being fast because they've never, you know, even last year when they got to the Super Bowl, when you look at their receiving core, they don't have the one guy who's a burner, let's say. You know, obviously McCaffrey brings a whole different element when he's healthy, and I think that makes them look totally different. And I think Mason's played extremely well, and I think we all like the way in which he runs, but McCaffrey just brings a different dimension, and I think he makes their offense look different. But I don't think their offense is built on speed. Now, I can't speak for Baldy. I don't know what he meant by that. I don't know if he thinks they're slow below the standard by which you can play effective offense, but I don't think to me, that's not necessarily true, but they're not one of the faster teams in the league, there's no question.
When you look at the lack of McCaffrey, and I'm thinking about the red zone, one of six in
that was an issue.
What are they doing differently without McCaffrey, or what are you seeing on tape that is the shortcoming of this offense once they get in the red area?
Well, in this game, there were a number of things, and this is where McCaffrey certainly is a factor, because there's normally when these things happen, there's not just one reason, as you guys know. I would say it resulted from an inability to run the ball in the low red zone, meaning 10 yards and in. There were snaps in which there was less than stout pass protection at times. Purdy at times, I thought, broke down in the pocket a little too soon, which, as we already discussed, he kind of did in this game. And I thought there were examples where there was strong coverage by the Cards, and he didn't have the timing and rhythm throw that he anticipated having. So there was one play in particular that came with 16 seconds remaining in the first half when Kittle broke wide open on a stick nod, but Purdy felt inside pressure. We can debate whether there was truly pressure. Only he could tell you what he felt. I wasn't sure there was truly pressure, and normally he stands there and delivers, but that would have been an easy touchdown because Kittle broke wide open. So there's multiple reasons, but this week was very problematic in the red zone, and that was a big factor in why they lost.
Executive producer all over the film, NFL Films, Greg Cosell, joining us here as he does every Wednesday on Willard and Dibbs. Greg, as I'm sure you're aware, always a big topic of conversation, especially after Niner losses, is Kyle Shanahan's play calling. And in this particular game, and with the way Jordan Mason's throwing, there have been a lot of questions about the run-pass split, especially with the way you start the game. We look at the Cardinals, not a great run defense. Kyle comes out and throws the ball 8 of his first 9 times. In your experience of watching games that he's called, do you see anything different this year? Does it look like he's being more aggressive in the pass game than in the past?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't do play calling because I know what I do and I know a ton of coaches. And in order to have any meaningful discussion of play calling, you'd have to be in the meeting rooms starting on Monday. It's easy to look at plays after the fact. I could tell you this, the Cardinals corners aren't very good either. So how do you, I don't know where you want to go with that conversation. They're not very good either. So, you know, it's, we can debate that forever. Let me ask you this question.
Okay.
Two points. You know that games often come down to isolated individual plays, correct?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay, obviously they didn't have a place kicker, so they couldn't go up by a touchdown in the fourth quarter. Secondly, on third and five on the final drive, the play before fourth and five where Murray hit Harrison for 14 yards, on that play, the play right before on third and five, Campbell knocked down a Murray pass, okay? It happened to hit his hand. If that ball did not hit his hand, if it went 6 inches one way or the other, Fred Warner was right there. He would have intercepted that and scored a touchdown, and we would be having a totally different conversation about the game.
No doubt. And, you know, it was a blitz on that play, and Campbell came in.
Although they blitzed on third and fourth down on both those plays. Yeah, they were aggressive with pressure. And they didn't blitz a lot in the game, but they were aggressive with pressure on that third down and that fourth down. So, you know, obviously, and again, Mason fumbled as well in the red zone. So, you know, there's always factors. I think you have to be realistic in evaluating. Look, there's only 17 games, and we know that you win or you lose. We get that. I'm a process guy, so I don't look at it as because they lost, that means they stink or they've got major problems.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I don't. Oh, when they win, oh my God, they're on their way to the Super Bowl, and we don't need to have another discussion. You know, I look at it as the process of how they play.
So when you say, for instance, hey, the Cardinals' corners aren't very good either, that maybe that leads to a fair question when you say, oh, they lose, that doesn't mean that they have big problems. Look at the 49er personnel for us. Do the 49ers have big problems?
Well, let me ask you this. Did you think they had big problems last year?
No, but are they the same team this year?
Well, they're missing the best back in the league, and as much as we all like Mason, and he's done a phenomenal job, he doesn't give you the same thing that McCaffrey does, and that kind of back just changes everything about a team. So that's a big, big loss. So, yes, they're not the same there. Essentially, the offensive line is exactly the same with the exception of Pooney, who won the job at right guard. So, offensively, it's the same people. Defensively, they've had some changes because they lost some people, but they've also replaced some people. Hufanga, who actually made a really poor play on the Murray 50-yard touchdown. He got hurt, obviously, and they're now playing the rookie. And when you play a rookie who's strength is probably playing downhill, but played predominantly on the back end because Brown is better when he plays closer to the line of scrimmage. Now that's something they have to work through. So, yeah, there are always some changes to be made in a given season. Absolutely. But they didn't go from being a really good team a year ago, getting into the Super Bowl, almost winning, to suddenly a team that's no good.
Before we pivot to Seattle, I want to ask you about that 50-yard touchdown run again, because many fans are pointing the finger at Nick Bosa, and I have been trying to tell him,
for
Greg,
what?
That his responsibility on that play is to go for the running back. What did you see not only from Hufanga, but also from Campbell and the lack of containment on that big 50-yard touchdown run?
Well, you know what? I'm going to pull that play up while we're talking.
Please do. Yeah.
And this way, we'll look at it.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to pull this play up
a number of different times, and it's zone read, and you see Bosa crash immediately toward Connor, and Murray pulls it, and he's got, you know, after 5 yards, he's already pointing to the heavens because he's virtually untouched.
Well, it's not zone read. It's not a zone read. It's a quarterback sweep, and the nature of the defensive front took Bosa. Bosa was going to be out of the play based on where he's lined up. Because he's lined up, they've got two tight ends to that side, and he's lined up basically inside the tight end that's closest to the formation. So Bosa's not really a relevant player on this play. He's not going to make the play. So when you look at this play, someone, and it's not Bosa, is responsible for the outside. Now, because it's a closed formation to that side of the field, you've got Ward out there, and someone's got to, you know, play, set the edge, so to speak, but it's not Bosa. So someone has got to play the outside. My guess is...
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's probably Campbell, but I don't know that for a fact, and there's no reason for Hufanga. He's not responsible for the zone read. I mean, for the handoff inside, if they hand it off inside, and he's flying up inside there, taking himself totally out of the play. He's a post safety. You know, it's not his play. So, you know, he's the one who made probably the major mistake on this play. But it was actually the perfect play call against the defensive front they lined up in.
Good stuff. Greg Cosell joining us here. Hey, let's go over to Brandon Ayuk, because there's been so much talk about him. He had obviously his best output of the year by far. Did you see anything different with the way he was playing and getting open, or was it just kind of circumstantial?
I think it's circumstantial. They threw him the ball. I don't think he's any different than he's been or will be. I mean, we've spoken about him numerous times. They threw him the ball, so he has big numbers. I'm sure they'll continue to throw him the ball. And, like I said last week, but this offense isn't built on getting one guy the ball. So their offense, you know, some like Samuel had a big game a couple of weeks ago. This week he didn't. That doesn't mean that there's something wrong with Deebo Samuel. That's not the way their offense is built.
And this week, as we start to think about a short week, and tomorrow they're going to Seattle to take on a Mike McDonald team, and he was the defensive coordinator in Baltimore last year who gave the Niners all kinds of fits on
Christmas
night.
Actually, he didn't. Mm-hmm. That game, they marched up and down the field in the first half. They went through that defense without a problem at all.
No, five picks would tell me that they did something right, at least, to be able to get five picks from the 49ers.
I think it was three, was it not?
It was four off Brock, and then Sammy D came in and threw a fifth.
Yeah, we don't care about that. Yeah. other than the Kyle Hamilton pick, which was the one in the red zone,
yeah,
which
bad
was a
read.
Very poor read by Purdy, which I know he admitted, but the tape told you that. The others were fluky plays. But in the first half, they marched up and down the field, both passing and running. So McDonald's defense in the first half didn't give the 49ers any problem at all.
Greg, can we dive a little deeper into your comment that it's fluky plays? Because there's even been a discussion in Brock's tipped pass interception, the first of the two interceptions against Arizona. In general, a tipped ball by the defensive line, is that on the quarterback, or is it,
well,
right? Is it fluky?
Let me ask you a question. How many tipped balls do you think Purdy's had this year?
Not a lot. I'll take the under on six.
He's had three.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, Patrick Mahomes has had five. Should we be discussing whether he's a big problem?
Aaron Rodgers has had five. Will you call my dad? Because my dad's texting me at the end of the game, we need a quarterback who's taller. And I'm like, come on. One ball. He had one ball tipped in this game.
Well, he had two, he had two this week and three for the whole season.
The whole season.
That's not a problem for Brock Purdy. Those are odd plays. They're not normal plays. I mean, how many times, let's see, I can tell you how many times he's dropped back this year, and then we can look at what that really means, okay. Which, to be honest with you, is nothing. But let's see. So Brock Purdy this year has dropped back, I'm going to tell you in a sec, and then, you know, Brock Purdy has dropped back 185 times this year and has had three tipped balls. So it's not really a conversation.
It's about 2%, Greg, based on my rudimentary
math. I don't really think that's a conversation.
Yeah, nor do I. And I just was thinking about Baltimore last year and the fact that I think they had two tip ball interceptions, one at the line, one which was further down the field.
Yeah, those are fluky plays. I mean, sometimes, don't forget, when you're a timing rhythm passing team, okay, keep this in mind. You could almost argue that it's amazing that there aren't more tip balls and that Purdy's great at it. Because when you're a timing rhythm passing team and the ball comes out quick and you're not taking deep drops, you're closer to the line of scrimmage. And a lot of defensive linemen know that they're not going to get to the quarterback. So what they do is they try to tip the ball because they're not going to get to the quarterback. So you could almost argue that it's phenomenal that he's only had three tip balls.
It's true, but I wonder about the Seattle personnel and whether or not they can replicate what Baltimore did, which was, you know, bring the corners down and take away the middle of the field and make things tough on an offense that likes to go over the middle of the field.
Well, that's what every defense right. tries to do. I mean, I remember last year against Cleveland played a ton of what we call robber coverage to try to take away the interior, you know, between the numbers. Every team knows what the 49ers offense is. There's not mysteries in the NFL, guys, just so you understand. Teams don't win or lose because they trick the other team. There's no mysteries. Coaches coach against coaches. They know what they're going to do. And the Seahawks this week, Woolen, I think, has already been declared out. So they're going to be short at the corner position. So, you know, they may feel they can attack the corner position, especially if they go three wide because Witherspoon, comes inside. So now who's going to play outside with Brown at the corner position if Woolen can't go? So they may feel, hey, we can attack them on the perimeter, you know, so we'll see how it goes.
What do you think of the abilities and performance so far of the Seahawks defense? Outside of the Lions offense, they've not really played a who's who of opposing quarterbacks. So what do you think of that?
And they struggled last week against the Giants, both in run defense and in pass defense. Daniel Jones had a really, really good game against them last week. The Giant pass game was efficient. It was timing-based. The ball came out. They had trouble stopping it. And the run game was really good. So, you know, I think, look, Mike McDonald is a great defensive coach, but you also are limited to some degree with the personnel you put out there. This is a team that plays a lot of nickel. Last week against the Giants, they played a ton of nickel, even when the Giants were in base personnel. So we'll see, you know, what they do. They play at times with three safeties, big nickel, as we call it. But this is not a great defense in terms of personnel.
So if you're the Niners going up against that sort of a scheme, I know that they run a 3-4 and they probably won't have Nwosu, the outside linebacker.
He's
going to be out with the thigh. And so if you're Kyle Shanahan and you're thinking about what plays work against that, a big nickel and a 3-4 front, is that more of a run-heavy scheme?
You know, look, every game, and there's no way any of us can know this because we're not in the building,
right,
in the meetings, but the Niners are relatively the same, and when I say that, you know, if Kyle Shanahan was listening, of course he'd say, well, we do different things against different defenses. Of course they do. Everybody does to some extent, but they don't step outside of who they are. So now it comes down to what is the balance between run pass, what are the tweaks that they're going to have from their foundational stuff because of the team they're playing against, but you're not going to see a totally different offense. I mean, this is what they do. They do kind of relatively the same thing every week, and they've been pretty good at it. So, you know, they may feel like they did this week, that they could come out and attack the Cards in the pass game because the Cards' corners are not very good and the Cards can't rush the quarterback at all. So, you know, that probably factored in to coming out and throwing the football. So we'll see what their plan is this week, but they'll probably feel that they can throw it as well.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films, with us every single Wednesday here on Willard and Dibbs. Hey, we found it interesting yesterday, Greg, that Nick Sorensen was asked about all the missed tackles in the second half and said he didn't see it as an issue. Sometimes his guys are a little overly aggressive, but they coach them that way. Did you see it differently? Did you see the missed tackles as being a big issue in that game?
I got to tell you, I didn't really take note of it, so I probably didn't. I think missed tackles are one of those categories that, you know, some different people look at it differently, you know, as what a missed tackle is. I mean, I can't, is there any play in particulars that
well,
you
James,
guys are
James
of?
Connor, James Connor in the second half kind of went from about, you know, 1.8 a carry to up over
right,
six.
Right.
And it felt like there were a number of times where someone had their hands on him in the backfield, and then it turned into an 8-yard gain. I get that he's a very good back.
Yeah, there were a couple of runs where it looked like he was stopped just because of the front wall. But I know some of the plays you're talking about, but I didn't view that as missed tackles, other than, as opposed to him then finding some room. Because he's obviously a physical runner. You know, he's not a guy that goes down with arm tackles. So if you're referring to arms reaching for him when he's running inside, I don't view those as missed tackles in a strict sense. Because he's, you know, he's running in confined space. And when guys reach out arms, you know, to me, that's not a missed tackle.
Yeah, especially when you're dealing with 230 pounds.
He's a strong physical back.
What are you seeing, though, in general from the Niners front seven against the run? Is it a personnel not getting it done? Is it a fit? What do you see when you see the Niners giving up big gains in the second half?
Well, I thought they gave up sustaining gains, not big gains, and there's a
true
difference.
Yep.
So, I mean, obviously they'll view it as something that has to get better, but it's not like they're being gashed. I mean, obviously when they started that final drive and they ran Connor the first four plays and they got two first downs, I think there was a 6-yard run, a 7-yard run, an 8-yard run. Though that's too much. I'm not saying that's okay, but they weren't being gashed. It was a tough runner who was, you know, grinding his way and getting tough yards, hard-earned yards. Now, as I said, you don't want to give that up. But it's not as if he was running through gaping holes. I viewed those runs as more of Connor being who Connor is than the 49er defense being poor.
Already looking forward to next week, Greg, because we're going to be looking back on Thursday Night Football.
Oh, yeah, it'll be a good game.
And then breaking down Patrick Mahomes, who's coming
in. I know,
we
got the Chiefs next week. Oh, is that game in Santa Clara?
Yes, it is.
Oh, well, that should be... I just hope the weather's good. I hate watching games in bad weather.
Yeah, bring your sunscreen, Greg.
The weather will be fine, and you know how the Niners own the Chiefs.
Well, that's going to be a big game, win or lose. I mean, obviously, they need to win tomorrow night, but that's a big game regardless.
Yes, indeed. Greg, great stuff, man. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, guys. Love talking with you every week.
Thanks, Greg.
There it is. That's Greg Cosell.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas. This is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.